All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Oilers Nation Radio episode 202. Bag Milk here. Dan, Rick, Tyler, gang's all here. Going to recap the first couple of games of the Western Conference Finals. And not so going so well. Not awful.
Why? What happened?
Hey, listen, we're not throwing in the towel here, but like, let's be honest. The first two games didn't necessarily go our way. But as we do every week, we're going to start off this episode, the Friday episode of Oilers Nation Radio, with a delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. 17 locations and counting. Check them out on DoorDash this weekend. It's Friday. You worked enough. Got to fuel up for tomorrow anyway. Game 3 back at Rogers Place tomorrow night. It's Saturday. Order some food. I would also encourage you to order some preemptive food for Sunday.
Smart.
That's what I would do. Smart. That's what I'm going to do, in fact.
So
I'm expecting a celebratory Saturday night tomorrow.
Yeah, me too.
It's the order tonight.
Tyler?
Yep.
What's a delicious debate today?
What is the most important adjustment that the Oilers must make in game 3?
They have to defend off the rush. Like, I don't know what's going on, but the Avalanche are basically moving up as a 5-man unit right now, and the odd man rushes are insane. They're basically walking into the zone free to do whatever they want with all kinds of time and space, and the Oilers just don't seem to have an answer for it right now. Goals off the rush have been a massive problem in this series so far through two games. So I don't know what you got to do. Like, I'm not saying to fall back in a 1-3-1 or something like that, but you have to consider different changes to get Colorado not flying through the neutral zone as quickly as they have, because it's been a problem.
Yeah, I agree with that one. They need to find a way to defend off the rush a little bit better, and also attack off the rush. Like, Connor McDavid has had two rushes that stand out to me. One where he tried to go through Devontae's legs and that didn't work. And the other one, Cale Makar just lightly poked it off his stick into the corner. So like, when McDavid isn't generating off the rush, you know, there are problems going on, because no one else is going to be doing anything off the rush. So I agree with that. I also think you need to, and this maybe goes hand in hand with that, you need to adjust how you're working your blue line if you're Jay Woodcroft. Darnell Nurse can't play the minutes you're asking him of. He can't handle these assignments. You need to put Darnell Nurse on the third pairing with Tyson Barrie. You need to play Brett Kulak, who's been your best defenseman in these playoffs. Yep. He's got to play with Cody Ceci on the top pair.
I would also say, and I've said it for a long time now, the Oilers need to respect the blue lines here a little bit. They're flying the zone early, trying to get out. They're not coming back hard enough. They're not getting pucks in over the blue line deep into the Avalanche's zone. I just don't think the Avs have had to defend a whole lot There's been no cycles. I just think that the Oilers can do a better job of getting pucks over both blue lines. Dan, what do you think?
I mean, I agree with what you guys are saying. If I'm going a step further, I think this team just needs to settle down. You know, every time that they either score a goal in game one or they get a goal scored against them in game two, it just seemed like they were all caught just staring off into the abyss right afterwards. And Colorado is an opportunistic team, and they're a team that will pour it on if you're not ready to go. And so for me, you know, I know that they were being outplayed and outmatched throughout the entire game, but you look at that one little group of 5 minutes where the Oilers were just caught on their heels. And after that, they were never coming back in that one. So for me, they just got to settle down with the emotional roller coaster that is these playoffs and is these Western Conference Finals.
Well, they just looked nervous last night to me.
It was weird. Well, I would prefer the word overwhelmed.
Yeah, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, there was just so much. It felt like there was so much jitteriness, I suppose. Yeah, nervous maybe does make sense.
A little bit of the yips.
Yeah, like even that Puljujarvi chance, right? Like that's a golden opportunity. And it just fumbles off his stick and wide of the net. And it's like, oh man, like.
Darnell Nurse had that one walking in. He tries to make a backhand. Francouz is obviously a right-handed catch. So yeah, the stick's on the other side. But like, that's one of those ones where it's like, you got to fire it, man.
Yeah.
Well, there's need to simplify too, I think. They didn't test Francouz out really all that much last night at all.
What did they finish with? 24 shots? That's not good enough. And how many good scoring chances did they have in game two?
I was just going to say, I think most of them were either at his chest or at his pads.
Like they had a couple early on I can think of in the first period, but outside of that, like Francouz had an easy night. Like, yes, give him credit for the shutout. They were chanting his name, blah, blah, blah. But like, that's got to be one of the easier ones that he's had so far. Rick, what do you think? What's the biggest adjustment for you?
You got to get on their defensive, man. It goes with yours there about them coming out the way they are. You got to get on their defensemen and not allow them to come out as a five-man unit the way they have been. They have been owning that neutral zone. And if you can't own that neutral zone, you need to get on their defensemen and kind of stop their momentum that way.
Yeah.
Because they're flying by the time they get to our blue line.
Well, and they're doing it with numbers too. Like the amount of odd man rushes last night was driving me crazy.
They move the puck so well. Transition game is so good, and they're fast. So you need to get on the defenseman and interrupt that first pass.
Yeah. And they like I said, I'm not expecting the Oilers to go to a 1-3-1 or anything like that, but like you got to find ways to get in front of bodies and slow them down in the neutral zone.
It's like, it's when you dump the puck and you got to change up the way you're dumping the puck, and it's just too easy for them to break out. I mean, other teams have done it to us in terms of preventing or trying to prevent Smith from coming out and stopping the way we break out. There are ways of handling this, and they just got to figure it out and get on those defensemen.
Yeah. Again, it's kind of weird to say this, but the McDavid McKinnon matchup really hasn't been much of an issue. It's the McDavid versus Taves and Makar matchup that's like really been a problem here for Edmonton. I'm pulling up the numbers right now. But it's just, I can't believe how effective Taves and Makar have been at shutting down McDavid. Like, I knew they'd be good. I knew they would be a problem, but McDavid, even through two games, had just a lot of perimeter kind of play. Like he said it himself. He's not being playing as good as he needs to.
But they're also doing what I think Rick is saying. They're doing it very well to Connor. They're getting rid of his space. They're on him right now. And the Oilers just, they're giving Colorado so much space. Like, how many times last night did Nathan McKinnon, like, obviously a hell of a player, there's no doubt about it, but like he just had time to wheel all over the place.
Remember early in the game when Devon Taves just like walked through the neutral zone?
Yeah, like what is that?
That was a bad line change. Guys were going off. He picked his head up, saw guys coming off the ice. He's like, oh, and that's Nuge in front of me? All right, let's go.
Yeah. And like Nuge is back. I saw people ripping on Nuge for them. Like, but why is he the defenseman back there?
It was a bad line change, and he can't look at it any other way else. Like, if you see the one from behind our net, two guys like take off just as he picked up the puck. It was bad timing. And
that's just like attention to detail for me. Like, again, nerves, whatever you want to call it last night, being overwhelmed by the moment, but like the Oilers were sloppy. They were like they were making preseason mistakes last night.
I think they had a lot of bad luck too. There's like, I don't want to like say that's why they lost, but the puck was bouncing off their sticks a lot. Like Ryan McLeod was fighting the puck. Everybody was fighting the puck in the neutral zone. Like nobody could pick it up cleanly and break it into their end.
It was like one of those ones where like, and then I felt like the problems kept compounding themselves. Like when Colorado got on the board first, like, ah, shit, that sucks. But okay. It was a deflection right in front of Smith. Not a whole lot he could have done on it. I saw people ripping on him at first, but then I was like, did you like the replay is right there. Like the puck dropped 6 inches right in front of him. What's he supposed to do? But from there, I guess the problem that I had was the Oilers just looked stunned by that first one. And then bang, bang, two back to back, 15 seconds
they're
between
really,
goals. Like that fourth really line's getting their head kicked in.
They're really good at feeding up their momentum.
Of course. Of course. The Oilers had really no ability to stop it.
No. Yeah. Like, and there were mistakes they made on every goal too. And you kind of go back in against LA, you know, you could make mistakes. You could have a bad 5 minutes against the LA Kings because they weren't that good. Calgary Flames didn't have their stuff. They weren't as good as they usually are, but you could make mistakes against Flames and the Oilers did.
Can't do
and it. And it didn't, you can't, you, whew, man, I said it against LA. I said, if the Oilers play their A game, they win no matter what. If the Oilers play their A plus game against Colorado, there's still not a guarantee they win. But if you don't have that A plus game, you're toast. You're not beating them at all. You have no hope in hell of bringing your B level game and beating the Colorado Avalanche. It just won't happen.
Giving them that many bonus opportunities to attack. It's like Rick said, they were fighting the puck all night, or it was like a pass was 6 inches too far ahead or 6 inches behind. And it was just that all over the place and they couldn't get anything going. The Oilers played the Avalanche really well, I thought, on the attack in game one, but in game two, they didn't have anything. And I don't think that Colorado really made that many adjustments from game to game. Just the Oilers didn't have their stuff last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, maybe that gives you reason to be optimistic about game three is that one, you'll be back on home ice and there's some matchup things there that we can talk about later. But you know, if the Oilers just bring it, they're going to be in the hockey game, right? Play your A game. You'll have a real shot at taking a game back here.
The crowd's going to be there. That was a real noticeable thing, I think, for us from LA to Calgary to now Colorado. Like Colorado's fans are far and above better than the Flames or the Kings fans were.
That building's rocking.
It's just a crazy atmosphere. So you can understand that maybe the players are, you know, jacked up for that too. But yeah, I really do believe they're coming back. This home crowd is going to be in it. And the Oilers are going to be in it too.
Another big adjustment for tomorrow is regardless of whether it's Francouz or Kemper in, you can't have 20 whatever shots it was on net. No. You can't, like, you have to take shots from all over the place, but you also have to have guys driving to the front of the net. You have to have guys. Tyler's looking at the heat map right now.
Like Colorado's is on the right. I know this is a podcast, so he won't be able to see it. But like Colorado's, the whole area in the slot and around the net the is circles. Bright red.
Yep.
Edmonton's is like a little bit in front of the net. And then like the right and left sides of the points. Like they didn't do a good enough job getting to dangerous areas.
And if you're going to take shots from those areas, okay, fine. But you need to make sure that there's people in front of Francouz because if he sees it, he's going to stop it. And I don't think last night he was tested nearly enough. Oilers had a couple of good looks early on in the first period when it was tied. But then after that, he just kind of was able to coast. He was able to coast to the finish line. They didn't really generate a whole lot. There were some shots from way outside, but he's going to, an NHL goalie is going to knock those down all the time.
He had a couple times there where he got a good poke check in. Like I know everyone's given Nurse shit for his, like I still have no problems with the forehand backhand like that. There was one time even I think Connor or Leon were about to pick up the puck in front of the net and he just poked it away.
Yep.
They were half a step ahead of us last night.
For me, I think when a team's struggling to score a little bit, and obviously that's weird to say about the Oilers because they've had 4+ and countless games, but like I would just rather take that shot there because then you can create some chaos rather than going for the deke. I thought the same thing for Zach Cassian when he had the breakaway in game one. I thought the same thing for Darnell Lurce last night. You've got a better chance to create chaos with a shot than with a deke, especially if you're not feeling it. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Oilers were feeling it last night.
Maybe in hindsight, but I don't think those guys ever go into the game where they don't think they can do something. Like
that's all fair. Like
Nurse,
I get
Nurse
it.
Nurse definitely expected himself to score on that one.
Yeah. What did we think of Jay Woodcroft's decision to split up 97 and 29?
I get it. Cause that's the, you know, you ride the horse that got you to the playoffs in the first place. And that's what they did. You know, they had, I thought it was interesting that they had Nedra Mota together. We haven't seen them in forever, but I was also as equally surprised that he didn't go right back to Connor and Leon when things started to go south a little bit.
That's where I had a bit of confusion myself too, was just, yeah.
Whatever. I'm also like, I love Jay Woodcroft, never going to say anything bad about him, but like, I'm also very confused why he keeps going to his fourth line immediately after an Avalanche goal. Mm-hmm.
The theory behind it, I understand, but those players just aren't getting it done.
If you have a good fourth line, it's what you do. Because they go out there and they get energy back and they get the puck deep.
If you see them in their first couple of shifts in the first period, that's usually what you want, what you're hoping for. Because you saw that Barch had a couple of big hits in there. So did Cass. Like, that's what you want in return after a goal. But Colorado just feeds off their momentum so well that you need to be extra good at that point, because otherwise they're going to move the puck real fast and get around you and turn that into a 3-on-2 the other way.
I didn't agree with the decision to split up McDavid and Draisaitl. I looked at their numbers in game one. You look at the fact that they were able to score in game one and it worked. Like, again, Taves and Makar, that was a different story. But when McDavid and Draisaitl could get on the ice away from Taves and Makar, like, there was good stuff happening. And it felt like, you know, when I first saw it for that first shift, I was like, you know what? I like this. Throw a little curveball at Bednar. See how he responds. But I just didn't understand them going back to it over and over and over again. And again, it's not like the results were good. Like, Nuge, Dry, and Yamamoto got outshot 5-4 in their 7 minutes together at 5-on-5. And I just felt like it was an unnecessary adjustment from Woodcroft. I'd have McDavid and Draisaitl back together for game three.
I would too.
I think you have to start with that. Like, that's your starting lineup.
I would also consider, I hope he also considers going 11-7 tomorrow.
I do.
I think that
you can't at this point. Like, it's so obvious, right?
Well, who's your seventh?
Broberg.
I put the Cowboy in.
I think you need the puck transition. You need the speed out there. Nothing against Russell, but he just doesn't move the puck from behind the net to forward. He doesn't make that first pass as well as Broberg does.
I just don't see Broberg being put in a spot to succeed against the Avalanche playing as they are right now.
I think when you're playing at home, you get to match it. You can sprinkle him out there when you want. Yeah. And I think he's done enough, although it's probably been a while since he's played a game. So it's maybe not.
Last time he played was game six against LA and he played 329.
Yes. Maybe not the greatest thing, but you know what? There's still an element of give him some of this right now. So he's better for it next year.
Maybe like the logic behind Russell would be that he kills penalties, right?
And
that's an easy way to get a minute.
He's going to block some shots.
Yeah.
Okay. He's never going to not sacrifice his body to get in the way of pucks.
I go Russell. Dan?
I get
wanting Broberg because you want speed back on your back end. You obviously, but I just think like the way the Oilers look so overwhelmed in their own zone right now, I just don't know that Broberg is going to be able to like at least Chris Russell will throw his face in front of a puck coming at the net. Whereas I don't know that Broberg has got that same level just yet.
I like Russell in the lineup. And I also I'm now on the let's get Dylan Holloway a game lineup as well.
Well, let's talk about that in a second here. I just want to give a shout out to our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. Maybe Holloway is the insurance we need, huh? Yeah. CornerstoneINS.ca. Go check it out. All the insurance products you could ever hope to have. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance. For 90 years and four generations, Cornerstone has been a family and employee-owned business right here in Edmonton. Check them out for everything you need. CornerstoneINS.ca.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June.
Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So let's talk about Holloway, because if there's a chance for this kid to get into the lineup, it could be now, especially since we don't know what's going on with Kaylor Yamamoto.
So that's what's interesting. If Yamamoto's out and you go down to 11-7, you basically have the decision of, do you just play the same lineup in 11-7, or is Archibald for Holloway the swap?
Or because the other option is like, do you do Archibald for sure as the swap? Because then you still get your penalty killer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like,
for sure. And then
they're not pulling out Cassian. They won't pull out both Archibald and Cassian.
No, I don't think so either. They should, but they won't.
Yeah. If it's Yamo out, Holloway is real intriguing. I would worry a little bit about overwhelming the kid, putting him up in the top six. Just because, like, hey, you've never played in the NHL. How about a borderline must-win game on Connor McDavid's wing?
That third line's okay still, though.
Been playing good, though. I want to split them up.
And if he's your extra forward, you can also slot him in positions where you like him too, right?
Yeah.
Give him offensive zone draws.
Yeah, you don't necessarily have to force him in on every line or on a specific line. You can just keep slotting him in where you need him.
I wonder if they would, if Yamo can't go tomorrow, and we haven't seen any update. Woodcroft is nobody's going to say anything. Size, skill, speed. That's what Holloway has to offer.
Like, I'm just looking at things right now, and like, the safe play is putting in Shore, right?
Yep.
Going Archibald for Shore, seeing what happens. But I think you could look at this team right now and view them as a group that needs a bit of a spark.
Yep.
And, you know, maybe just that young excitement of Holloway flying around, and maybe he lays a hit and it gets the boys going. Maybe he gets a scoring chance and it gets everyone going. Like, he might give them a bit of an emotional spark that, like, Devin Shore. I know him and Connor had their great moment and all that. And, you know, Devin Shore could probably go in there and maybe give you a bit of a spark too. But I just feel like there's so much upside with a potential Dylan Holloway addition to the lineup.
They need goals. They need to score. So
depends, like, you have to know how he looks in practice though, right? If he's not fitting in practice, then you're probably not going to sprinkle him in. If he's looking pretty good, then it's probably a part of his thought.
If you need skill, you guys remember the game against Washington that kickstarted the Oilers' hot streak? Dan, remember the goal Brad Malone scored?
Do I ever remember?
It was right in front of me. I was sitting row six next to the net, and I saw that man tuck it bar down.
I love Brad Malone to death, but I don't know if he's the guy that comes in and helps this team against Colorado right now.
Come on.
Not with the needs they need.
I love Brad Malone. I love the idea of calling up Brad Malone.
All right.
But I think Dylan Holloway is just, to me, it's like you guys have been saying, you know, this team just needs a little spark. Why not in game three? To me, it's not he's not like Devin Shore is a guy you bring in a game four when you need a win, you know, like then you go back to your veterans. Let's have some fun. Let's get Dylan Holloway out there, get him out in front of a soft crowd. And in game three of the Western Conference Finals, we're going to be going crazy for him. I think it's perfect.
Just fucking put him in the starting lineup. So like they read his name and he's like standing at center ice and like crowds going bananas.
Yes.
I think like, especially if Kaylor Yamamoto can't go tomorrow, they need skill. Like, God love Devin Shore for being a cheerleader and for everything he's doing with the team and in the dressing room. He's not going to score you goals.
Are you sure?
Pretty sure.
Mostly.
Speaking of Yamamoto, what do we think of the hit?
It was dirty.
Bad enough for Linus Gregg should have gotten a game.
Yes. I don't know that he was going to get a game, but the fact that it wasn't even looked at on a league that constantly talks about getting rid of blindside hits.
It's a blindside hit.
What are you talking about? I didn't expect, like, seeing it last night, seeing it again this morning, I didn't expect Landeskog to get suspended, but a fucking phone call, like a text. Zach Cassian got fined $2,500 exactly. For pulling somebody's helmet off. Like, okay, I get it, it's unsportsmanlike, but whatever. Landeskog was a blindside hit on a vulnerable player, and the first point of contact is the head.
For me, it feels like the NHL bases a lot of their supplemental discipline decisions on how viral something goes. I was talking to Rick about this before we started recording. Like if Friedman, Frank, and like Steve Dangle and a couple other people like made a stink about it, and we're like, ooh, the NHL might want to look like here's the hit from Landeskog. And there was some buzz online about it. Just feels like that's the way this goes. Like you can tell 20 minutes after a hit happens based on the buzz online, like, wonder if this will get looked at.
But then if that's the case, then this is a trash league.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
totally.
The way it's run. Sometimes it is.
Do you guys remember what happened between Zadorov and Glendening in round number one?
Yeah.
Whereas Zadorov blew up Glendening. To me, that's the same kind of situation. I defended Zadorov in that situation. I said, you know, to me, there's no way he can't make that hit and not kill Glendening in that situation just because of height. My issue with the Landeskog hit is it's not necessary to make that play. And it's a decision that he made skating basically parallel with the guy a little bit ahead of him. He made a decision to go ahead and take a shot at, yes, I think he was looking for shoulder, but he got all head blindside. And so, I don't understand why you don't have a conversation with the guy to be like, you know what? The next time you have an opportunity to kill a guy, don't. But instead, we're sitting here and we're talking about, a fine for Zach Cassian reaching for his water bottle.
This hit reminded me of the Matt Cook and Mark Savard. Exactly the same thing. He caught him from behind on the backside of his shoulder with his head. Yamamoto is a right-handed shot, right? So he's not, never ever is he going to look over his right shoulder that way. It's just, that's where his blind spot is. Landeskog took advantage of it and hit him in it.
Landeskog, like, so me and Dan are watching it right now and it's just like, Yamamoto is in a vulnerable spot, blindside hit.
And he looks at them the whole time. He's watching Yamamoto exactly tracking he's him. Doing.
Is it because like, does Landeskog get no disciplinary action, not even a phone call because Yamamoto pops back up right away? Is the thing, part do we it, have yes. to play the greasy game that the Colorado Avalanche are playing where they're laying on the ice and grabbing their face? Yes. Like there's that penalty that Makar drew last night where I'm just like, come on, man. Like
Borderline tears.
The McKinnon. Face is all red.
McKinnon throws his head back, and I've never noticed this much, but McKinnon throws his head back more than anyone has seen in a while.
I said it last night. It upset some people. That is the Nathan McKinnon you want to see.
And he's very grabby too.
I do have experience watching Nathan McKinnon, and the guy has been
Halifax. That's a joke. That's an absolute joke.
But traditionally when he's off his game, it's because he's whining about the treatment that he's taking or the way that the officials are treating him, whatever it is. And so I loved seeing that stuff. That's perfect. And to me, McKinnon wasn't as much of a factor as he has been in other playoff series and in other games against us. But the rest of the team was.
He was rattled because he found out before the game some of his teammates had a chocolate bar earlier in the day.
Yeah,
French fries.
The calorie intake. Extra tracks.
Salt. It's Dollar Frosty days.
He saw a granola bar and it had chocolate chips in it.
It's like, you motherfuckers are having Dollar Frosties and it's not going to fly right now.
We've got to win tonight.
Got to take this seriously, guys.
But yeah, Nathan McKinnon used to play for the Halifax Mooseheads.
He did.
Dan lived in Halifax.
And when he was in junior hockey, people used to get on him all the time for the whining.
And you know this why?
What's that?
And you know this why?
We just covered that.
Because you live out there?
Yes, I lived there.
I thought, again, maybe the Oilers have to play that game a little bit. You know?
Well, that's what I said too. I think it was TSN or somebody asked, you know, does he get discipline? It's like, if you guys are waiting for the league to discipline Landeskog, you're going to be waiting a long ass time.
You can't. Well, if 91 does that, if 44 does that, those are definite suspensions.
Of course.
You're hooked on the thing.
Of course. Stuff. We got Tyler's
done. My headphone cord. I needed a little more.
No slack there. If it was 44, 91, even 25, they're all getting it.
Yeah, I agree.
If Cassian does that to Alex Newhook, end of story. Games.
Yeah, 100%.
100%. This league is so.
McDavid's been suspended for doing pretty much that exact same hit.
Yeah.
This league is so inconsistent when it comes to this stuff.
Well, even the officiating in general, and I'm not going to say that the refs were the reason the Oilers lost last night, but like, how is it that when the game was as tight as it was in the first period, up until what, the midway point of the third or second, I should say, somewhere around there. It was very tight up until that point. How did Colorado get four power plays during that time and the Oilers didn't get a single one? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Colorado's just, they're looked at upon differently than the Edmonton Oilers.
And that's not to take away from the Colorado Avalanche. Obviously, they finished first in the Western Conference for a reason. They're a fucking good hockey team. But like at the same point, it's comical how inconsistent everything is in this league.
Well, I mean, yeah, but it benefits you and it doesn't, right? Like you look back at LA, I mean, LA didn't get a power play in game 7 of that series, right? Like that benefited the Oilers. And I know the Oilers played clean, but it's very rare to go 60 minutes without taking a penalty, right? And the Coleman thing went their way. The offside didn't. Like, I don't know. It's inconsistent, but I always get a kick out of fan bases who are like, the league hates us. Like,
oh, the league hates everybody.
The Oilers, like Oilers fans being like, God, we're the cursed. Fucking NHL needs an American team in the cup final. Ah, this sucks. Yeah, and then every other fan base is like, oh yeah, NHL just wants McDavid in the final. They'll do anything for us. It's like Leafs fans, right? They're like, oh, the league hates us because we're the Leafs. Everyone hates us. We never get power plays. And everyone else is like, oh, look at that. They're doing whatever for the Leafs. Everyone hates everyone is the lesson here.
Well, I hate everybody. Always.
But it just, at the end of the day, it's not good officiating, mm-hmm. period.
It's inconsistent officiating to me. And like, even just things like the mental gymnastics we have to go to figure out what's offside anymore. It's just like, what? Like last night I was yelling at
having the referee come out and tell you something without explaining it to you. Like that's not going to happen in the NFL. They're going to explain to you why. Tell me something. Cause everybody in the damn world up until you went on Twitter thought it was because of what you saw, you know, what you watched. And that was not what they were even looking at. Why not tell us exactly what you're looking at?
Yeah. Well, even watching the broadcast in game one and the McCarr thing happens and Craig Simpson goes, oh, that's way offside. And then they do the reverse call. And then Craig Simpson immediately is like, oh, well, actually you can see McCarr's pushing the puck. And he's like, no, he's not, man. Like that's not a dump. An NHL player, like as good as McCarr is, he does not have the time to process what's going on that quickly. Nor was the linesman on the other side putting his hand up for a delayed offside.
Like, what is the word? What is the exact word? Like we all know the rule offside, right? We know what's supposed to be. What's the exact wording? Because I don't know where I read it or heard about, but someone said the other day, and I don't know if it's Greg or something like that, or Ray Ferraro or something. I think it's Ferraro actually said the NHL needs to sit down and rewrite some of these rules. They need to like clarify them and kind of clarify the proper wording because some of these rules based on, like I said, I don't know what the exact wording is for offside, but if that allowed it to how that happened last or that game, then it needs to be rewritten. So do a couple other things. And that goes as well for the kick in the net in game 5 or whatever.
The other thing that I got a real kick out of watching the broadcast after that offside goal and then also everything else that went on was the whole like, look at these other examples of goals.
Not even close. And they're like, same
examples. Not even slightly related to what we saw in the game.
No.
Like, the one that they loved showing was Bunting when he played for Arizona. And they're like, look, it's the same thing. And like Bunting's ass is on the boards and he like catches the puck and is like looking at his teammate being like, oh, now I'm good. Like not even close to the fucking
zone. There's a Bruins one too where the puck is like inside the zone and the Bruins player is watching his teammate come back and he's like waiting for the puck there. And they're like, it's the same thing. No, he wasn't in motion. And that's where I think that's where everybody is at in Oilers fandom. And it's all the other fan bases that are upset about this now. But Oilers fans are just like, you know what? Whatever. It happened. It went against us. Change the wording for next time so that all these former players aren't like, this is dumb. And all these referees are like, no, it totally makes sense because we understand the rule book. Like, no, just make the language make sense for a 5-year-old and we can be all moved on past this.
There's funny because you can skate into the zone backwards where your feet go in first and have that same gap between puck and stick. And they consider that to be a good play.
Yeah. Like what is possession? Who knows? I still don't think that call ultimately in game 1 is the reason the Oilers lost. It was just sloppy.
But it did lead to two goals.
Of course it did. But like they were not very good. Like not, they were better than last night though, to be fair. But like, I have a hard time being like,
look at that Hornet on the window.
It's a big one.
Do I need to fucking kill?
No, it's on the outside.
Do I need to kill again?
It's on the outside. You can give a warning.
This is,
but he's beefing with you.
Yeah. They now have our broadcast schedule down, Bag Milk.
Listen,
exactly where you are.
That was a warning.
I'd watch out on your walk to your car, by the way.
Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to chop that one's head off and then I'm going to hang it outside my house as a lesson to the rest of them.
Put it on some spikes.
Yeah.
Toothpick.
Yeah.
All right. So let's look ahead at tomorrow a little bit. I got a couple of questions here for Ask the Idiots. Just a couple. Looking at tomorrow, what are you expecting in game 3? We're back at Rogers Place. Obviously, like Dan said, the building's going to be bumping. The atmosphere in the building is going to be electric. What are you expecting from the Oilers tomorrow in game 3? Backs against the wall a little bit. First time we've been down by 2 games in a series so far in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
What are you thinking?
I think you're going to see a bit of a bounce back. I think you're going to see a bit of the team that that you wanted to see against these guys. There's going to be a bit of that, you know, back up against the wall type of a situation. You're going to have the bump of the crowd out there. You get the last change, so you got to be a little bit trickier when it comes to matchups and try and take advantage of that stuff. Yeah, I it's optimistic. I understand, but that's who I expect to come out tomorrow night.
I think the Oilers are going to get 2 goals in the first 10 minutes. I just really think this team is going to come out and it's going to be guns a-blazing. I think it'll level out after that. We probably won't win the game by that 2-goal score. But yeah, I think that this team is going to be angry and ready to play tomorrow.
If they score early, because I plan on rocking a pretty solid BPP tomorrow.
BPP is going to be sky high tomorrow.
Yeah, the pregame beers are going to be flowing.
Yep.
If they score early, I'm trying to like imagine what the atmosphere in that arena is like. My head will pop off like a rocket and go into the rafters. I will be headless for the rest of my life.
I'm expecting
splatter all over Garth Brooks's banner.
Yep. I'm expecting that whoever the Avalanche have in net tomorrow, whether it's Francouz or Kemper's back,
gotta be Francouz.
The Oilers are going to test them more.
Yeah.
You got to shoot on this kid, man. I think you got to try and pick it over his blocker too.
Yeah, you got to shoot, like adjust. Now you've seen him the one full game. I know he came in relief in game one. You've seen him the one full game. Like you got to adjust the strategy when the glove's on the other side. It's just, it's a different look.
How about this is unrelated. How about the Avs scoring a goal when Mike Smith wasn't even wearing a glove? I forgot that happened.
After it was removed by 191 for their team.
Like, I don't know why the refs don't blow that down.
But like, and the glove was picked off, like you said, by Kadri. Like he flipped it off Smith's hand.
And should have been blown right there.
And then Mike Smith has to like go to his post as Nathan McKinnon's about to fire a one-timer and his hand's just like out.
Yeah, he tried to put the glove back on because the puck looked like he was going to leave the blue line. Tried to put it back on, keep the play going. It didn't work. Like there's no way that play should have kept going.
Jonathan Quick made a save without his glove on.
Wasn't a Nathan McKinnon one-timer.
Is the rule on that? Like, I know the helmet comes off, they blow it dead, but like,
I think
like
if it's your fault,
And I'm not saying, I don't think Nazem did this on purpose or anything.
I do.
Think it was just, he was in that area.
I think he did it on purpose.
How many more happy mistakes are going to happen for Nazem Kadri before we start doing something?
What? You didn't do it on purpose. Like, use your stick to try and swipe someone's stick or their glove off their hand. He's the
king of accidentally on purpose.
He's removed like 3 helmets in this series already. I don't know, man. Like, yeah, I get what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying. In that situation, maybe it didn't happen on purpose, but these happy little mistakes always happen.
He puts himself in the position for it, for sure.
Nazem Kadri, and we've said it, I think, last week or the last show, is like, he's a guy you hate to play against, but you want on your team because of the accidentally on purpose always seems to happen with this fucking guy.
Oh, yeah.
That's wild.
And he's got the skill to go along with it too. So he's just like, he's the ultimate annoyance for an opposition player.
Imagine if you're a detective and you showed up to every crime scene and there's just one dude standing there every time.
It's just always the same guy.
Just here.
It's always the same guy. Any other expectations for tomorrow night at Rogers Place?
Just that building's going to be on fire. It's going to be so good. I just expect Edmonton to be absolutely rocking tomorrow. And I think the team is going to respond accordingly. I really, really think we're getting a strong bounce back.
You think the boys play pissed off? Because they have to.
Yeah. Like your back's against the wall here. Like, and I'm trying not to say this take too much because it would, but if you go down 3-0, you're screwed.
Yeah. You're proper fucked.
Yeah.
Not against these Avalanche.
And I don't think they're going to come out pissed off, but I think they're going to come out motivated and play
pissy.
Their game.
I think they're going to be pissed off a little bit.
They're going to come like motivated and play their style of game.
When I say pissed off,
I get all upset and swinging my stick.
Embarrassed.
Throwing a bow or two.
I don't think yesterday's game, well, obviously it didn't go the way they wanted it to, but like even just the way they played, outcome aside, I don't think that's what they wanted at all. And yes, Colorado's good. They're fucking really good hockey team, but ultimately the Oilers are not slouches. It's not like you get to the Western Conference Finals by on a scratch ticket, you know?
Yeah, as much as everyone would like to convince you that, whatever.
Just got to be better. And there's a much better team in that dressing room. So we expect to see them come out.
Yep.
We also have to remember that a lot of Av fans are Flames fans in disguise.
Everybody just hates the Oilers. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. If you're talking about the Flames fans, it's just imagine for a second that the Battle of Alberta in an alternate universe went the other way. that the Flames weren't absolutely terrible and that they weren't dog shit throughout the series and that their Vezina candidate could actually stop a puck. Just for a second, imagine this. It didn't happen that way. Of course, Markstrom was terrible and the Flames are god awful and they lost in five games as they deservedly should have. But imagine for a second that it was the other way around. There's no way in hell that I'm paying this close attention to a Flames game as the Flames fans are with the Oilers. You might as well just come out as Oilers fans at this point because you're watching closer than we are. And it's either you are an Oilers fan, but your daddy raised you as a fucking Flames fan, or you're pathetic.
Dude, they're so wrapped up in us. It's embarrassing.
What? You didn't like that?
Yeah, you're harsh.
I like it. Good.
I think I'd be by the lake or something. I'd be enjoying the lovely weather we're having.
It's June.
Hockey, yeah.
I'd be watching. Like, I wouldn't be paying attention.
You'd be bagged milk, be back to watching Honey Boo Boo again.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be back on. I've got 90 Day Fiance backed up on the PVR. I'd be clearing those out. That's what I'd be doing. You think I'm watching the Flames? Nope. Hell no.
Nope.
Absolutely not.
Catch them on sports.
I didn't watch them in 2004. I wouldn't watch them now. And I find it very entertaining how closely they watch. It's like the instant something goes against the Oilers, they're like, boom, on it.
Oh yeah.
And then they're shocked when we're not happy about it.
Now, tell me this is true or not. Cause I really don't pay a lot of attention to them. I don't listen to them stuff, but from what I understand, a lot of their sports radio stuff
is about the Oilers.
Yeah. At least Edmonton, like Elks do. Like they talk a lot more about their Edmonton sports and Edmonton, like, cares about them.
Their drive show texted me yesterday and asked me to come on. I was supposed to do a hit today, but we're doing this, obviously.
Were you going to talk about golf?
Yeah. Certainly was going to rub it
down. Break down the Saudi Open with them?
Yeah, the Live Tour or whatever. Yeah. Flames fans, we're rent free right now in their heads.
It's not just right now. It's always.
Yeah.
It's always. Just put on the blue jersey. You'll feel better about it.
Don't just stop paying attention to us.
It's like I posted a meme the other day and a couple of Flames fans were in my DMs about it, where it's just like, I feel sorry for you. And the response is, I don't think about you at all.
At all, man. That's just it. You turn it off.
For our friends at Buster's Pizza, it's time for Ask the Idiots. If you don't know how the bit works, where have you been? You're not paying attention.
Yeah. What are you, a Flames fan?
Well, if you're a Flames fan, I guarantee you're paying attention. So the way this works is you submit the questions, you fire them to me in the DMs or in my email. I give them to the boys without letting them know what's coming. They give their first takes. Got it? Good. And then we're going to vote on who wins a gift card from our friends at Buster's Pizza. First question has nothing to do with this series, so I respect it. Tyler, what's the worst bet or trade you've ever made in your life?
I wagered you a kiss.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Then what happened?
Then we kissed inside of a Smashburger, very drunk.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And there's photo evidence that will never see the light of day.
Yep.
And the photo evidence, despite what you may think, it is not hot.
Is it on your computer only?
It's on Jay Downs.
It's on Jay's phone.
Oh, okay. That'll accidentally slip one day. Don't worry.
Jay is building up quite the file of, or you and Jay are building up quite the file of dirt on me.
Listen, I've been working with Jay for 12 years now. Don't worry. His file's also quite sizably large.
That's not clean.
Everybody's got a file here. Rick, what is the worst bet or trade you've ever made?
I don't know if I've ever made it.
Also, by the way, you enjoyed the kiss. You're very happy about it. The reaction to the kiss itself was magic. The people at Smashburger were cheering us on.
Well, I don't remember that happening, but I also barely remember that night.
Rick,
I don't think I've ever made a trade, so I'd have to come down to a bet, and I've made a lot of bad ones. So I think one of the biggest ones probably be, if I go back, I think it was probably the Super Bowl when Manning lost. Was that to the Bears?
Oh, to the Seahawks, right?
Was it the Seahawks? Yeah. No, I think didn't he lose to the Bears? Did he beat the Bears?
No, the Seahawks like smashed.
Yeah, when he was, defense. Yeah, when he was, like yeah. No, it was that. I sat there and said, you know what? This dude's getting a full 2 weeks to figure out this defense. Like he's going to eat him apart. No problem. Let's go. And I probably put way too much money down on that one.
Dan?
I got a good one. So it has a win to it. I bet $5 on the Minnesota Vikings to win the Super Bowl. And then I bet $5 on the New Orleans Saints to win the Super Bowl. The year that New Orleans Saints won the Super Bowl and they faced the Minnesota Vikings in the NFC Championship. So I was doing good. I made about $600-$700. And this was back when sports gambling was like, if you wanted to do a withdrawal, you were going to have to hope to get your money. And so I thought, well, $700 is good, but If you take all that money and you put it on Great Britain to win the curling championships at the Olympic that year, it would be worth, I think, $3,000. And I did that, and the Great Britain finished in fifth.
I was going to say, that was Great Britain even good at that point?
They were. They were one of the top teams. They had won the world championship the year before, but they changed the way that they do their Murdoch? Team announcements. Yeah, Murdoch was on the team, but they just brought in the best player from every position. And so it was just no good team chemistry. And I lost.
Worst trade of my life was probably giving 15 years to a 9-to-5. Does that work?
Ooh, touche. Mm?
I'm not built for it. Mm-mm. I'm built for comfort, Tyler. And kissing you.
No.
Question number two, ask the idiots. The G. Okay, I'm gonna have to read this one here for a second. The NHL got rid of the skate on the ice rule for offsides, partially due to the difficulty for linesmen to judge and the long reviews. In light of the Makar offside goal controversy, do you think they will clarify or change the delayed offside rule next season to deem those plays offside for the same reasons? If they don't, do you think there will be repercussions next season? Example, more players exploiting this rule and missing more offsides with more video reviews.
I think they need to stop overreacting to single plays. That's the whole reason we have these GD offside reviews anyway.
Matt Duchene fucking 15 feet offside. Right?
Like, imagine how different our current timeline is if that linesman just fucking calls Matt Duchene offside. Like, we are nowhere even close to what we're at right now. So I wish they would shoot offside reviews into the sun. The amount of times it's ever super obvious is so slim, and we would probably never talk about it anyways. So I just do enough reviews, enough tinkering rules, like just stop.
Or just like, I think if you're going to like, it has to be in real time.
The only thing that kills you is there's so many opportunities out there to see it in slow motion that they have to do it that way.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If they don't do it, then TNT and Sportsnet, they're all going to do it. They're going to show you all the NHL missed this, this, that, and the other thing. It's silly, and they're just overcorrecting everything.
If there's one thing I know about this league, it's that we're just around the corner from another controversy that's going to make us forget about this one. So just wait a couple more days and something else nonsensical will show up, and we'll never speak about this again until the next time some team gets caught by it.
Yeah, I'm surprised we've made it through 2-3 days since the last controversy without a fresh one. You know,
less games to worry about, but I think that the NHL can count on themselves to screw something else up.
Reversing the order, third question for Ask the Idiots for our friends at busterspizza.ca. Dan, starting with you. Put your Woodcroft hat on for a moment, please. Dan, what are you saying to the boys to get them fired up for game three?
Sorry, I'm going to stand up here because Jay stands for his performances.
Power stance.
So now I have to tell the boys what to do.
Yep.
The Colorado Avalanche are who we thought they were. And you guys need to get out there. And if you want to crown their asses, then crown them. But if not, we're going to go out and we're going to fight them in the trenches. We're going to fight them on the beaches and protect this house. There we go. I got all the speeches I could in one.
Protect this house.
What do you say to them, Rick?
Under Armour's going to be so upset with us right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, podcast. Honestly, not a whole bunch. If these guys don't know what it, they need some sort of coach speech right now to go out there when they're down 0-2 in the Western Conference final to Colorado. Probably shouldn't be here. So, I mean, here we are, boys. Get out there. It's game time.
Tyler.
I would just say, like, you can skate with them. You can score on these guys. You just have to play as good as you can. Everyone. Just focus. Every player in that room just needs to focus on, like, the five things they do well and just do those things. Just go out there and make sure when you're on the ice, puck's going in a positive direction. You're doing things that are helping the team win. And that's simple as that. You'll win. You'll win if everyone plays their best.
I'm thinking Woodcroft goes in to the dressing room pregame, spandex, big wig on, and he does an air guitar of Kickstart My Heart. Just like the series opener against Calgary, everybody was fired up, Kickstart My Heart. Or he just goes up, guitar like boombox over his head, just plays Levels. Rogers plays goes on fire when Levels starts playing in the building. Maybe the boys need it, you know? Or third option, he goes in word for word speech from any given Sunday. I know it's about football.
That's fair.
But it's a hell of a speech. And if you need one, Woody, there's one for you. Al Pacino. It's already, you just put it on. I imagine they got TVs in that room. Just pop that up there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I dig it.
Or you start offering real dollars to somebody who dropkicked someone. I don't know.
Make it spicy. Cassian sees dollar signs.
Yeah, like Cassian, you can increase your cameo price. You can double it. But I need you to dropkick Francis. We'll take the penalty on it.
A little Nazem Kadri accidentally on purpose. That's bad hockey karma, though.
Yeah, of course. You don't want to hurt anybody.
Honestly, they should be stopping in the blue paint every fucking whistle.
Every time.
They don't.
They do way too many flybys.
They're so far away.
Way too many flybys.
And I don't care if you're stopping in the corner and the whistle goes, skate right to the blue ice.
Get in his ear. Just stand all over him.
People hate when you do that.
Are these still tips from Woodcroft?
Yeah, of course.
Just checking.
Yep. I'm Jay Woodcroft and I'm being like, Evander, go park yourself in that blue paint and just
every whistle.
Don't stop talking.
And yeah, just do not move. Like just stand there.
Don't get physical with it, but do not stop talking.
Look at your skates.
And for the Crowder Rogers place tomorrow night, let's help them out. Get some Pavel.
Pavel.
You got to get on him.
Especially if Kemper's playing.
That gives me PTSD of Burry, by the way.
Kemper.
Oh, you got to do the other one just to throw him off. Doesn't even matter who you are.
We should chant his last name, but say it wrong. Francois.
Kemper. Kemper.
I don't know. If you have a Woodcroft speech you'd like to give to the boys, hit us up, Owen Radio Podcast. My ideas weren't very good, so don't listen to me. I want to know what you would have to say. Although, reenacting the Any Given Sunday speech. Who's not getting fired up for that if Woody does that? Keeps the boys a little bit light, you know? Walks in there, starts screaming about living and dying for those inches. Come on.
I'm just a man standing here asking you to win a hockey game.
That's all it is. All right, boys. Those are three questions for Ask the Idiots for our friends at Buster's Pizza. Who gets the GC today?
The bet one.
Worst bet? That's for Tyler. That's very on brand for you. The second one was, are we changing the offside rule? Third one, what's your pregame speech for Woodcroft?
Woody's speech.
Offside.
Oh, fuck.
We missed this on Tuesday. It's about time.
All right. So I'm trying to think of, I'm going to do this the most diplomatically as I possibly can.
The two people that don't win take it personally too.
Well, one of these guys has won a couple of times already, so he's out. Oof. No offense. Just trying to spread the love around.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm going to go with the Woodcroft speech. What do you say to the boys to get them fired up? That one is from Mackenzie. I will give you a DM after the podcast is over. Let you know you won a gift card from our friends at Buster's Pizza. While you're waiting, I encourage you to check out busterspizza.ca. Study the menu. Maybe you want some pizza. Maybe you want Donair. Maybe you want their pasta combos. I'm not here to judge. They're all delicious. Fueled up the temple. Big game tomorrow.
And open up your email and send Bag Milk a Buster's Pizza question by now already. Jeez.
Yep. Ask the Idiots. They can hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, DMs. You can email me, bagmilk@oilersnation.com. If you want to email pictures of your feet, it's tyler@oilersnation.com.
Piece of news that came down this over is the last
upsetting.
Hour.
This is upsetting.
GM of Dynamo Moscow or whatever says he's very confident, or he says they've signed Ilya Konovalov and Konovalov's going to go to the KHL.
I wonder what that's about.
And terminate our contract.
Yeah.
Ilya Konovalov. So he was with...
But the Oilers are going to hold his rights still. So it's not like he can play there for 2 years. So maybe this is just something where Konovalov was like, hey, I really want to start. And the Oilers were like, ooh.
Who's starting ahead of him next year?
They had that college kid. What is that guy's name?
College kid. I forget his name.
And then I imagine Skinner will be up with the big club unless they go out and do something a little.
And our boy Olivier Rodrigue.
Yeah, but I saw it late. Yeah, I get that. I don't know. To me, that's just being afraid of a competition.
Ryan Fanti.
Ryan
Fanti.
I'm a big fan of the Orange Fanti.
He had a this year with Minnesota Duluth. He had a 1.83 GAA and a 9.29 save percentage. He played in one game with the Bakersfield Condors and gave up 5 goals. And yes, his name sounds like a soft.
I'm so stupid. In 17 games played with the Bakersfield Condors this year, that is 946 minutes. Ilya Konovalov finished with a 5.73 and an 8.93. Save percentage.
That's not that. Who was that?
That's Ilya Konovalov.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's not that good.
No, it's not great.
I had high hopes for him. But I mean, again, he's young, right? Like, how old is he? 23?
He is 23 years old.
So go over there for 2 years, come back when you're 25. That's fine.
Yeah, because you know what? Nothing really happens with a goalie until you're 25, 26 anyway.
Yeah.
Unless you're a freak, you know? Carter Hart.
Unless you're a freak.
Yep.
I'd like to see him against some better competition, though, than whatever's going to be left of that KHL.
KHL is probably still better competition than AHL.
Yeah.
Well, and unless
unless no one goes back to Russia.
He played 17 games this year in the AHL. Maybe he just gets more minutes over there. I don't know. But again, the Oilers still maintain his rights. Hell of a goatee on his player picture.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't strike me as a goatee guy.
Well, not everybody can pull it off, but I would say he does.
Maybe this is all just a part of the Oilers swapping one Russian for another, and we're going to get Kuzmenkov or whatever.
Ooh.
Oh, is that what happened to that? That rumor has been going on for a while.
He's still interviewing with teams. He hasn't decided. Apparently, he did a second interview with the Canucks.
That's rude. Should we fire Quads?
Maybe. Whenever I think of a Russian free agent coming over, especially named Kuzmenkov, I think he's going to be like 6'4", like huge. I just always think of it.
Alexei Miknov.
Yeah, this guy's tiny. He's like five nine or five ten. Yeah, he's not Slepyshev, although. Oh, if we could bring back Tony Slepp.
Oof, what a guy. Solid human being.
What did he do anyway? Slepp a chef.
Did you ever run into it? Was Tony Slepp a...
Slepp? Oh, yeah, I know Slepp. Yeah, no, I think he won a championship again this year.
He played for CSKA Moscow in 2021-22, 35 games, 10 goals, 15 assists, 25 points.
They did win the championship. Yeah,
they won. He has a couple of championships since he left here.
Well, time to bring that swagger back to Edmonton, yo.
Just stay with CSK Moscow and he'll be fine.
Before we move on to the Twig and Berry's hot and cold performers, what's your guys' play with Darnell Nurse? Clearly he's hurt. Clearly he's not playing like himself. What are you doing?
The solution is so easy. Dress 7 and then play Kulak and CeCe as your big pairing. Have Russell take all of Nurse's PK minutes away as the 7th D-man. You have a top pairing in Kulak and CeCe that can actually fully defend and give Nurse gravy minutes with Tyson Berry in the offensive zone. Boom, done. I solved it. We're good. Rick? We're winning.
I'm a 7 guy too, but I want to see Broberg in there instead. I get what you're saying, Ty, with the PK minutes and whatnot, but I just see we got shut out last night.
Dan, what are you doing with Darryl?
Offense.
Stop expecting a guy with a core injury, alleged core injury, to keep playing those minutes. So yeah, I mean, you just trim his minutes down, especially when Kulak has done it already. He replaced him for a game. Like, it's just seems like a no-brainer.
Kulak always got love for CeCe, but Kulak has been one of the most consistent defensemen they have right now.
I think a lot of the people hating on Nurse too are going to find out what this injury was, gasp, and then the talk will be, boy, you're not getting Darnell Nurse back till Christmas.
It's going to be like your insides are hanging out from your outsides.
Yeah. Yes, you know? You're going to hear what the injury was, and the people that are hating on him on Twitter would not be able to tweet the same injury.
I threw my back out getting out of bed one time, and I was immobilized. Way she goes.
Darnell. Tyler Yamamoto had his head taken off, and he started skating again.
No, clean hit. All right. Tomorrow, game 3, Rogers plays 6 p.m. Saturday night. The stage is set for a magical evening here in Edmonton. And that's what I'm expecting. Good vibes only on this podcast. So what is one thing that you think, again, right before we get into the Twig and Berry's hot and cold performers, what's one thing you are certain that the Oilers will do better tomorrow on Saturday, first game of Rogers plays in the Western Conference Finals?
Mike Smith is going to be better.
Score goals.
I'm with Rick. They're going to generate offensive chances so damn good tomorrow. Your head's going to be spinning trying to keep track of all the action.
That's what I was going to say, but since just to be different, I'm going to say power play is going to be buzzing.
Bzzz. And when it buzzes, what does it lead to?
Have to get them.
We should
goals.
We should make that a thing at Rogers. Like when the power play really gets start going buzzing? And everyone just goes bzzz.
For the bees, for Yakupov.
Shout out to Neil Yakupov. I wonder who he's cheering for in this series. You know, he played for both teams.
Yeah.
It's Colorado legend.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And he wore 91, didn't he?
I don't remember.
He was 91 in Colorado.
I don't remember what he wore. Didn't he wear 60? Didn't he go back to 64?
Doesn't somebody have a Yakupov Colorado jersey in this room?
No, I don't.
Everybody.
If anybody
does.
Would be your M-Chuck.
Top seller.
Come on, Rick.
I do not have any jersey.
He went back to 64.
Other than Carpat with Puliarvi.
You don't own a single jersey? That's
No, I don't own a single non-Oiler jersey except for Carpat Puliarvi.
And the silence from Zach Pochiro is also deafening here. I'd like to know what he thinks about this series. Longtime Oiler.
I'm just going to, with no context, tweet a photo from Oilers Nation Radio of Yak in a Blues jersey. Just toss that out there.
I forgot he played for the Blues.
It's startling to look at the photo, honestly.
Were him and Magnus Pjärvi on the same team?
Probably.
Or yeah. Ottawa.
Probably might have been Ottawa at that point.
By then.
I'm going to find out.
Sandman.
Let's wrap up the podcast, boys, with a look at the hot and cold performers from the first couple of games of this series for our friends at Twig and Berries. If you go to twigandberries.ca, use the promo code NATION15. That'll get you 15% off your order. If you're out in St. Albert, Tyler's way, why don't you drop in and say hello?
They were teammates.
RIP.
And PRV outscored them despite playing 8 less games. More than doubled them.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Well, come on our podcast, Neil. We'll talk about it.
Why not Magnus?
Magnus, I would take him too, but I don't think he's on social.
I want him to go back to Pajarvi Svensson though.
I think that's what slowed down his whole career.
Yeah.
Getting rid of the Svensson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Lost his identity.
That extra name bar helped with the weight and it held him back. And
it was the aerodynamics.
Yeah.
Had him in the right positions.
He's on Twitter.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he hasn't tweeted in 5 years.
Tweet him from the Oilers Nation account with a photo of him and Neil Yakupov as St. Louis Blues.
That photo is a unicorn. I'd hang that in my house. Twigandberries.ca if you want to go check something out, or if you're out in St. Albert, go check them out in store as well. Again, if you're on the website, they got free shipping on orders over 75 bones. Nation 15, that's your promo code. Got it?
For the hot performers, should we try to manifest who will be the hot performer
tomorrow?
Yeah,
let's do it. Let's do it. Because I think we need to do a little manifesting. I see the vibes are a little bit negative right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a good vibes only podcast.
Yeah.
Outside of the you know, I'll go home and drink a whole bottle of red wine right now. I'll feel good. I'll feel sexy. I'll send Tyler nudes to tyler@oilersnation.com.
It's not physically healthy for me to get too jacked up about tomorrow's game this early.
I know. I'm so excited.
I'll be coming to see you before the game. My best to just kind of like not allow any of that excitement through right yet. Like it'll be big enough when I wake up tomorrow. Right now, I can just try and keep the heart rate to a proper beat.
Where I'm going to get really excited tomorrow is I'm going to the game tomorrow night. When I see you pregame, that's when I'm going to start.
You're
going to
go to the pint pregame?
Yeah. Have a little something to eat.
Maybe my old
couple
man
of cocktails.
I'll be there.
I think that's the move.
Yeah.
I think I need to start off before the game even starts with some positivity in the air. Go to the pint. That's what's about.
We have some positivity in the air.
Absolutely. All right, boys, let's do it. Hot and cold performers for our friends at Twig and Berries. We're going to start off with our veggies as we always do. Nation Dan, I'm looking to you first. First two games, your Twig and Berries cold performer.
My Twig and Berries cold performer for the first two games is going to go to, I don't know. I hate being negative. It's not my favorite thing to do.
It's a cold performer. It's kind of the way it's supposed to go, bud.
Yeah, we do it every week.
We've only been doing it for 202 episodes.
I'll give it to all the Flames fans for taking their time. And, you know, they've moved on from the kick. That I will give them a positive for. They've moved on from the kick a little bit. Hey, it'll come back later. But for now, they've got something to focus on. But you know, there's a lovely amount of weather out there. There's nobody wearing a flaming red C out on the ice anymore. So, you know, take your break, take your L, and Flames fans, you get my Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
Oh, that's cold.
For Flames fans, if you're listening, which I know you are, just like to remind you that in 2004, you guys won game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Put yourself up 3-2 against the Tampa Bay Lightning. I think you went on to win that series.
What happened after that bag milk?
I don't know.
That was not a goal.
It was not in. Should be trending on hash on Twitter right now.
Jelena did not score a goal.
Tyler.
Check the record book.
Your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
I do like Dan's Flames fan one. That was a really good one. Who do I want to give it to? Who do I want to give it to? I'm just going to give it to Pavel Francouz for playing well and having a good moment. You know, come on, man. Yeah. Real jerk move.
We have been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok, and flat out deceived.
Rick, your Twig and Berries cold performer of the week.
This is going to be like a shared one. And this isn't for the officials on the ice so much as the Department of Player Safety. And then the way they explained or lack thereof the offside goal from game 1. I think if the referee came back and gave us a 13-15 second explanation of what they saw and called, things would be a little bit different. And the lack of any type of discipline, whether it be a phone call, a suspension, a fine, slap on the wrist, I don't know, take away his internet for a day. I don't know. But that the hit on Yamamoto last night, I didn't like that. So that's one of those guys.
What the hell is going on?
Last night, Beard Brad and I were having a good time coming up with things that we would like to punish Nathan MacKinnon with. But like, they were just annoying, you know,
he
like
he only got eat fudge for a day.
Like he got a fresh pair of Pumas and he scuffed them, you know, or he lost his debit card.
Well, he has to eat nachos.
He has a debit card.
No salsa, no cheese, just the dry chips.
No, I think he would hate the fact he had to have the melted cheese on there.
Oh yeah, that's true.
You have to.
Yeah, not healthy cheese, like proper cheese.
No. Your dinner for the next week are Baconators and Big Macs.
The tap is disabled on his debit card.
Yeah, that's annoying. Yep. Cuts himself shaving, you know, clips the beans.
Oh man. Little Twig and Berries.
My Twig and Berries cold performer of the first couple of games of the Western Conference Finals. You know what I'm going to say? Flights to Denver. I looked him up as soon as Colorado got through and I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm flying down to Denver. I'm going to do it. I talked to Jay about it. I talked to friend Kerry McGowan about it, about flying down for games 1 and 2. Flights were just too expensive, man.
They're not direct either, are they?
No. Well, I could find direct back home from Denver, but on the way back, it was like a 15 hour, or on the way there, it was like a 15 hour day.
Terrible,
like,
because nobody wants to actually go to Denver.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to, but if I'm going to spend that much money, I'm going to be sitting on the beach with a cocktail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So flights to Denver, you're my cold performer of the week.
That's a joke. That's an absolute joke is what it is.
Tyler, I don't know how to get to the hot performer, so we might just do cold performer buttons here again.
There's more.
I'll just check them out.
Just keep pressing buttons.
I'm just going to keep pushing things. Mm-hmm. You sit over there. I'll see what happens over here.
Yeah, okay.
All right. That's
fine by me.
All right. Well, I think I've got something going on here. Okay. Flipping the ledger. Let's end off the podcast with a little bit of positivity. This is Oilers Nation Radio episode 202. I can't believe I've been doing 202 of these things. Nation Dan, I'm starting with you again. Your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week. Well, or how are we manifesting tomorrow? We're going to manifest a hero tomorrow.
You were
manifest
saying that. I'm thinking we're back in Edmonton. We didn't need him in round one. We didn't need him in round two. But the Colorado Avalanche are now walking into Benminton. We're going to bring that Benergy and little Ben Stelter is going to be in the house. I think so.
Okay.
I assume so. That's why I'm manifesting it, Tyler, because the positivity is going to be flowing.
Yep.
All thanks to little Ben Stelter and the Stelter clan. Ben Stelter, you get my Twig and Berries manifesting hot performer of tomorrow.
It's been up and down like a toilet seat. Really.
That's a horrible. That's not going to work. This one.
Feeling hot, hot, hot. Feeling hot.
The button is labeled toilet seat.
Yeah, but like I don't have my glasses on. I can't read that shit. Rick, your Twig and Berries hot performer of the week.
Well, you know what? He's the greatest player in the world, and I think you're going to get to see a little example of it tomorrow night. If we're going to manifest anything, this is being drug in by number 97, Connor McDavid.
Woo! It's getting hot in here.
So hot.
All right. Tyler, your Twig and Berries manifestation.
Give me that Nuge, baby. It's going to be Nuge. It's going to be Nuge. They're going to get a big night from him. They're going to put McDavid and Draisaitl back together, and 93 is going to find a way on the second line to produce some offense.
Put some respect on my name.
Yeah, we are.
Put some respect on my name.
Mm-hmm. Double. I'm looking at, who am I going to manifest for tomorrow? Who do I believe in? I'll tell you who I believe in. Zachary Hyman. He scored pretty much every game except one since the second round started. Zach Hyman is going to come in. He's going to be buzzing. We're going to see that massive smile after another massive goal. Zach Hyman, you are my Twig and Berries hot performer of tomorrow night before it even happened.
Yeah.
This is why I'm hot because I'm fly. You ain't because you not.
I'm already hungover on Sunday.
Yeah. So like I've been planning out what I got to do because here's what I can see it in my head. I'm going to the Pint pregame. Going to have a nice little meal.
Yeah.
Put a base layer down.
Yeah.
Have a couple of cocktails.
Yeah.
Big BPP coming.
Gotta.
Big BPP coming tomorrow night. Back to the Pint for the celebration postgame.
Yeah.
That means Sunday is going to be a rough one.
Yep. Okay.
So got to get some work done tonight and tomorrow to make sure that Sunday has got clear sailing. Clear sailing indeed. Anybody else who are manifesting positive thoughts for tomorrow? Anybody else you can see?
Schmitty.
Sure.
He was dialed in that first though. Up until that deflection there, that deflection wasn't on him.
Watching
great
Bagwell,
shot by Manson.
Watching Bagwell try to read these is so good.
I don't have my glasses on at all. I do like this one though.
It's been up and down like a toilet seat really.
I've got Ryan McLeod.
Yeah, bounce back game from McLeod.
I'm in on a bounce back from Clouder.
Yep. I can see that. I can see, you know what? Warren Fogle, you're scoring tomorrow, buddy.
Feeling hot, hot, hot.
Feeling it's time. Hot, hot, hot. It's time for playoff Fogle to show up. He had a good look last night. I thought he, again, I'm also manifesting more shots on net. I'm manifesting more traffic in front of Francouz. I'm manifesting a barn that is all over that goalie when he allows a goal in the first 5 minutes of the first period. I'm feeling good. Game three. Don't give up hope. Hope will never die, everybody. For our friends at Oodle Noodle, DoorDash, Cornerstone Insurance, Buster's Pizza, and Twig and Berries, this is Oilers Nation Radio, episode 202. Tyler's going over to the board because he doesn't want me to touch things.
Boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Yours cold
as ice. That was the kid in the elevator.
All the you little rascal. Get out of here. No, I was going to play the extra.
There you go. Oilers Nation Radio, episode 202. Enjoy the game tomorrow. We're going to be celebrating a big game three win.
Let's fucking go.
If I don't clip this survey, Brett. Thank you.
Showed up.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.